170, Chapter 23, Georgia and World War II. Chapter Preview, Terms, Reparations, Fascism, Dictator, Genocide, World War II, Rationing, Black Market, Blackout, Holocaust, A Credit, Civil Service. People, Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, Harry S. Truman, Ellis Arnold. Places, Pearl Harbor, Marietta, Fort McPherson, Warner Robins Army Air Depot, Camp Stewart, Hunter Airfield. In the 1930s, Americans were focused on the problems brought on by the Great Depression, and the U.S. government worked for economic recovery and reform. In Europe and Asia, however, developments took ominous turns. Japan wanted to create an empire in Asia, while Adolf Hitler of Germany hoped to rule an empire in Europe. Even when both countries began seizing territory near them, the United States tried to maintain its neutrality. However, on December 7, 1941, Japan bombed the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and neutrality ended. The United States entered World War II. Like other U.S. citizens, Georgians responded with patriotism and a strong desire to do their parts in the war. As it had in World War I, the military looked to the South for military training installations. The defense industry also saw the advantages of having its factories in the South. Georgia and the other southern states permanently changed as a result of the economic and social impact of those developments. The New Deal had helped bring change to the South, but World War II signaled the end of the Depression and set the South on a new path. Page 572, Section 1, Causes of World War II. As you read, look for the reasons for World War II, why the United States entered the war, how the war affected Georgia's economy, how Georgians contributed to the war effort, terms, reparations, fascism, dictator, genocide, World War II. In the 1920s, Europeans had tried to overcome the devastating effects of World War I. Destroyed factories, unstable economies, and poverty had made life difficult for many. In the Pacific, Japan's need for raw materials to support its growing industries led it to become aggressive. In Germany and Italy, militaristic dictatorships emerged. All these societies became dedicated to creating empires. After World War I, most Americans wanted to focus on their own country. They wanted a trade relationship with other countries, but they did not want to get involved in the affairs of those countries or their relationships with one another. When the aggressions of Italy, Germany, and Japan began, Americans still did not get involved. By the late 1930s, however, U.S. leaders began to prepare for military action, but it took an attack on American soil to bring the country into World War II. The war helped transform Georgia. Military and defense installations changed the economy as thousands of Georgia civilians went to work at higher paying jobs than they had ever had. Americans from all over the country came to Georgia to train or work, interacting with the local population. Patriotism connected Georgians to their fellow Americans, although some parts of the South's culture still kept them separate. 4 years later, the state could no longer go back to its pre-war conditions. Foreign policy in the 1920s. At the end of World War I, Europe was suffering from the effects of the war. In addition to all the physical damage from the war, European economies were struggling. In some areas, people were homeless refugees. Hunger was widespread. The Treaty of Versailles, which ended World War I, was not a treaty that would create a peaceful world. Instead, the Allied powers had framed the treaty with the goal of keeping Germany weak. Under the terms of the treaty, Germany had to admit that it caused the war, pay reparations, compensation for war damages, to the Allies, and give up some of its territory. The Austro-Hungarian Empire was also carved up, and new countries had been formed. Many Americans believed that the way to stay out of war was to limit involvement with other countries' problems. But in the modern world, that was not easy. The United States traded with nations around the world. The U.S. economy depended on selling both farm products and manufactured goods to consumers in other places. The stability of those countries was of great interest to the United States. So, in the 1920s, the U.S. government tried to prevent another war by making agreements that would lessen the chance that war would start. The United States hosted a conference in Washington, D.C., and invited the major world powers to attend. There, they worked out three major treaties and several other agreements. They limited the number of certain types of Navy ships each country could have, agreed to respect each other's possessions in the Pacific Ocean, and agreed to maintain an open-door trade policy with China. Around the world, others also hoped to eliminate war. In 1928, 15 countries signed the Kellogg-Briand Pact agreement, which said that nations would not resort to war except in self-defense. Another 47 nations signed the document later. Unfortunately, events in the 1930s showed that, despite its good intentions, the pact could not prevent war. Japanese expansion in Asia and the rise of dictators in Europe. In 1931, Japan, in violation of the pact, took over an area of northern China called Manchuria. Although other countries protested and expressed their disapproval, none actually did anything to stop Japan. Japan had long been a growing industrial power, and it needed the raw materials of Manchuria, such as wood and coal, for its factories. Japan also wanted to create an empire in Asia. In 1937, it invaded China, brutally killing thousands in Nanking and taking several key cities. But the Chinese government held on, and the war between the two countries continued. In 1941, Japan invaded the French colony of Indochina in Southeast Asia. Were the Asian colonies of Europe and the territories of the United States next? Meanwhile, in Europe, both Italy and Germany fell under the control of fascist governments. Fascism is a philosophy of government characterized by a dictator, a leader with absolute power. Fascists believe in the superiority of a particular group, often a racial or national group. A fascist economy works to benefit the government, although private property remains in private hands. In a fascist state, government, military, and business all work for the glory of the group. Fascists do not believe in individual rights or democracy. In Italy, the fascist leader was Benito Mussolini. In Germany, fascist Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933 with his Nazi political party. In the 1930s, a civil war in Spain also brought a fascist leader to power, Generalissimo Francisco Franco. Just as Japan hoped to create an empire in Asia, Hitler hoped to create an empire, or Reich, in Europe. In 1935, Italy invaded the African country of Ethiopia. Hitler first took aim at areas Germany had lost in the Treaty of Versailles. In 1936, he invaded an area between Germany and France called the Rhineland. 2 years later, he sent troops into Austria and then into part of Czechoslovakia a few months later. In spite of an agreement with France and Great Britain to not take any more territory, he invaded the rest of Czechoslovakia. In 1936, Germany and Italy made an alliance called the Rome-Berlin Axis. Japan became part of the alliance in 1940 so the three became known as the Axis Powers. All three governments were very repressive to their own people by this time. Mussolini claimed to have buried the putrid corpse, dead body, of liberty. In other words, freedom was dead in his country. In Germany, Hitler targeted groups that he considered inferior, not part of the German master race, for concentration camps where they were poorly fed and overworked. Jewish people in Germany and the conquered lands became targeted not only for slave labor, but for genocide, the deliberate killing of a particular group of people. War in Europe and U.S. neutrality. In the autumn of 1939, the German army invaded Poland in what came to be called a blitzkrieg, lightning war. World War II had begun. Both France and Great Britain declared war on Germany, although they failed to stop Germany. After a few quiet months, country after country fell to invading German troops: Denmark, Norway, the Netherlands, Belgium, and finally France. German planes began to bomb Great Britain in the second half of 1940. While the other countries had fallen to the Germans, Great Britain held on. Then in June 1941, Germany invaded the Soviet Union, violating an agreement they had made not to fight each other. By winter, German forces had reached the outskirts of Moscow. The U.S. response to all these developments was to stay out. Americans believed that this was a foreign war and that the United States should remain neutral. In the mid-1930s, Congress passed a series of neutrality acts. That legislation made it illegal to sell weapons to nations at war or to make loans to those that had not paid their World War I debts, which included the countries at war. By the end of the 1930s, news came to America of the terrible bombings of Great Britain, the brutal Japanese treatment of the Chinese, and the Nazi persecutions of minorities. In the mid-1930s, Germany had abolished the citizenship of Jews and later passed laws that Jews could not attend high schools or colleges or participate in other institutions. Then on the night of November 9, 1938, a night of terror occurred where Jewish businesses, houses, and churches were vandalized and some destroyed. After this so-called Kristallnacht, night of broken glass, Roosevelt expressed shock that such things could occur in a 20th century civilization. The United States also had to deal with the issue of trade. President Roosevelt feared that the Axis powers might win the war and disrupt U.S. trade. In late 1939, the United States reversed the policy that made arms sales illegal and began to allow warring nations, mainly Great Britain, to buy weapons on a cash-and-carry basis. They had to pay cash for them and pick them up and transport them. Many hoped that Great Britain would be able to stop the Germans. In spite of this change, over 80% of U.S. citizens still believed that the country should fight only if attacked. When France fell in June 1940, the United States started to rearm itself, not knowing how far the German lust for an empire might go. Planes and ships began to be built. In September, the nation's first peacetime draft went into effect. Over 16 million men between 21 and 35 had to register for military service. At the same time, the United States also made a deal with Great Britain. The United States traded old U.S. warships in return for Great Britain allowing U.S. military bases on several British islands. When he ran for re-election in 1940, Roosevelt said his policy was to send guns, not sons. In other words, he thought that by giving the British the weapons they needed to defeat the Axis, the United States might be able to stay out of the war. Americans also admired the grit and determination of the British. In 1940, Roosevelt was the first president in United States history to run for a third term. He believed that the emergency nature of the times made it better to keep the same president, to not change horses in the middle of the stream. He won the election, although not as strongly as he had won in 1936. Preparation for war. After the election, Roosevelt agreed to help Great Britain even more through the Lend-Lease Act. The act gave the president the authority to let countries fighting against the Axis powers borrow military supplies. Americans opposed to the United States becoming involved in the war were against this program. They believed it might draw the United States into the European war. Meanwhile, in the northern Atlantic Ocean, a German submarine fired on an American destroyer in September 1941. As a result, Roosevelt, as commander-in-chief of the U.S. military, issued an order that U.S. Navy ships could shoot at German submarines on sight. The U.S. Navy also began to convoy, escort, British ships across the Atlantic until they were about 400 miles away from Great Britain. The Germans believed that all these actions violated any neutrality the United States claimed. In October, their submarines damaged one U.S. ship and sank another. It seemed that the two countries were on the path to war. In the Pacific Ocean, Japan had become a problem. When the United States began rearming in 1940, it built ships for a Pacific fleet. In 1940, ships began to be based at Pearl Harbor Naval Base in the U.S. territory of Hawaii. Japan found that action threatening. The United States also stopped selling to Japan metals such as iron and steel that could be used in making military equipment. When Japan took over Indochina from the French in the summer of 1941, the United States stopped selling them oil and began to send troops to the Philippines, which had been a U.S. territory since the Spanish-American War. The United States was also sending aid to China in its fight against Japan. Japan made the decision in September 1941 that it would go to war if the United States did not stop sending aid to China and recognize Japan's sphere of influence in Asia. The Japanese hoped that fighting would remove the United States and its European allies from their territories in Eastern Asia. Japan believed that the only way to stand a chance against the United States was to surprise it and get as much territory as possible in as short a time as possible. In November, the United States figured out Japanese codes. It knew the Japanese planned military action. The surprise was where Japan attacked. On December 7th, 1941, over 350 Japanese planes left aircraft carriers to attack the naval base at Pearl Harbor. The Japanese managed to get the carriers close enough for the attack without being detected. Completely surprised, the Americans could not counterattack. Almost all the U.S. planes, along with 8 battleships and 11 other ships, were destroyed. The next day, Roosevelt, calling December 7th a day that will live in infamy, asked Congress for a declaration of war on Japan. Congress readily agreed. On December 11th, Germany and Italy, allies of Japan, declared war on the United States. The United States had entered World War II. This was a truly global war. Fighting took place in northern Africa, where the European countries had colonies, in Asia and the Pacific, where Japan was trying to gain control, and in Europe, where the Soviet Union and Great Britain battled to maintain their own countries and eventually free those already taken by the Germans. There were Georgians in all these theaters of the war, and they were profoundly affected by their service. Reviewing the section, 1. Define reparations, fascism. 2. What was the purpose of the Lend-Lease Act? 3. What event finally led the United States to enter the war? Page 577, Georgia Portraits. Carl Vinson, the father of the Two Ocean Navy. Throughout the 1920s and 1930s, Carl Vinson of Georgia had encouraged the United States to build up its defenses. His efforts helped prepare America for the coming war. Born in 1883 in Milledgeville in Baldwin County, Vinson attended the military school there and graduated from Mercer Law School. He served 2 terms in the Georgia House and a short time as a judge. In 1914, he became the U.S. Congressman for his district. He was the youngest person in the House of Representatives. He remained in the House until he retired in 1965. At that time, he was the longest-serving congressman in the House. In 1917, he became a member of the House Naval Affairs Committee. By 1923, he was the ranking Democrat on the committee and so became its chair when Democrats were in the majority. After World War II, the Naval Affairs Committee merged with the Military Affairs Committee to become the House Armed Services Committee. He served as its chair as well when Democrats controlled Congress, which was all but 2 years between 1949 and 1965. His work made him an expert in military affairs, and he supported a strong national defense. Alarmed by rising tensions in Europe, President Roosevelt and Vinson worked to increase the country's military readiness. Vinson especially pushed the idea of a large and strong navy. In 1934, Vinson helped pass the Vinson-Trammell Act, which authorized the building of new warships to replace aging ones in the fleet. 4 years later, the Naval Expansion Act, which Vinson guided through Congress, expanded the fleet across the board, supported the training of pilots, and established naval air bases. The second piece of legislation also allowed faster construction of Navy ships. In 1940, 2 additional expansion acts passed. As a recognition of his role in this naval buildup, Vinson deservedly became known as the father of the two-ocean navy. Before World War II, Georgia's economy had grown dependent on the state's military installations. Vinson represented Georgia's interest in the military through his committee work. During the war, Vinson continued to support military installations in the state. After World War II, Vinson continued his dominance in Congress. Throughout the Cold War with the Soviet Union, Vinson supported a strong military. His influence was one of the reasons Georgia was able to keep such a strong military presence in the state. In 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson awarded Carl Vinson the Presidential Medal of Freedom. After serving for over 50 years in Congress, Vinson retired to his Milledgeville farm in 1965. In 1972, President Richard M. Nixon honored Vinson at his 90th birthday, announcing that the country's 3rd nuclear carrier would bear his name. On March 15, 1980, the Navy launched the USS Carl Vinson with the honoree in attendance. Vinson died a little over 1 year later at the age of 97 after a life of remarkable public service.